Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Grace, mercy, and peace are yours from our God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Like most guys, I like to tinker around the house. There's something rather therapeutic about beginning a task and seeing it completed and then having it turn out the way you want it to, which unfortunately is not always the case for me. But another reason I like to tinker is because I get to work with tools. There's something satisfying about having the right tool for the right job and getting a chance to use that tool. In our first reading this morning, the risen Lord comes to a man named Ananias and tells him to go and bring healing to Saul. But when Ananias hesitated because he had heard how Saul was persecuting those who followed Jesus, God told him, "Go, for he is a chosen instrument of mine to carry my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel, for I will show him how much he must suffer for the sake of my name." As strange as it may have seemed to Ananias, God said he was going to use this man as his instrument, his tool, to bring Jesus to others. And that's the way God works. Not only in Paul's life, but also in ours. He has chosen us to be his tools to accomplish his goals. And for the next few weeks, we're going to focus on these readings from Acts to consider what it means to be an instrument in the hands of God. But there's always a problem when God wants to use us this way. Ananias faced it, Paul faced it, and so do we. The problem is the fact that we're sinners. And as such, we're self-centered. We prefer working toward our own dreams and ambitions, our own wants and desires, rather than someone else's, even God's. We don't really want to give up on our own plans. Just take Paul, for instance. He was a proud and respected Pharisee. He had power, prestige, and position, and he gladly took on the task, in fact, volunteered for it, of hunting down the Christian heretics and bringing them to trial in Jerusalem. He was convinced that Jesus of Nazareth was a false prophet and a dangerous blasphemer. So he zealously tried to stamp out this heresy. Paul would have laughed in your face if you ever told him that he would ultimately be one of Jesus' disciples. The same is true for a man named John Mark, whom we meet in the book of Acts. He was also a rather unlikely instrument, an unlikely tool for God. Tradition says that he came from a rather well-to-do family in Jerusalem. They had a large home where early Christians gathered for worship and study and fellowship. And we read in Acts chapter 12 that this man returned to Antioch with his uncle Barnabas and a man named Paul after they had brought relief supplies from Antioch for the poor and needy in Jerusalem. And then we read in Acts 13 that when the church sent Barnabas and Paul out as missionaries, John Mark joined with them to be their helper. But he didn't last long. Apparently, life on the road wasn't what he expected it to be. Perhaps he got tired of handling luggage and making arrangements for lodging, food, ships, and the like. Maybe he got homesick, missed his mom's cooking, and a comfortable bed. Whatever the reason, he abandoned Paul and Barnabas midway through the journey. Mark was unwilling to give up his own comforts and desires. He wasn't ready to be a tool in God's hands. Soren Kierkegaard, a Danish philosopher, tells a story of an emperor who came to visit a village in his kingdom. A young farmer came to him with a bold request, "Give me a special blessing, grant me a favor." And to everyone's surprise, the emperor said, "Get into my carriage, come home with me, marry my daughter, and live as a prince." And at first this sounded great. But as the farmer thought about it and realized that the life of a prince meant no more Saturday nights at the tavern with his friends, no more comfortable peasant clothes, and all the problems that came with living at court with official duties and the like, he finally had to reply, "No, sire. No, no, thank you. It would be too much for me." He wasn't ready. You know, to be a tool in the hands of God sounds pretty good at first. It'd be nice to know that you're being used by God, that you're right where God wants you to be and doing what he wants you to do. But when you consider what that might mean, what God might expect you to do or give up, maybe that young man in Kierkegaard's story doesn't seem so foolish after all. But the problem of our reluctance and self-centeredness doesn't stop God. He won't be stopped by something as weak as human sin. In Saul's case, he literally knocked him to the ground, telling Saul that when he persecuted God's church, he was persecuting God himself. And when Paul, now blind, was led into the city, he did nothing but pray for 3 days. I wonder what he prayed about. No doubt he thought and prayed about what he just experienced. Could it be possible that Jesus truly was the Messiah? Was he really alive? Did he really have the power over life and death, as his disciples claimed? And then when Ananias came and healed him in the name of this Jesus whom he had hated, life was never the same. So Saul the persecutor became Paul the preacher. He had to change from being self-centered to being God-centered. After he received his sight, he tells us in his letter to the Galatians that he went to Arabia and studied scripture from a new perspective and convinced that Jesus truly was the Messiah. He was able ultimately to say, "I am ready not only to be imprisoned, but even to die in Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus." By God's grace, Paul could say he had become all things to all people, that by all means I might save some. But what about this Mark guy, this John Mark guy? How did God deal with his unwillingness to be his instrument? We don't know all the details, but when Paul and Barnabas were preparing to embark on another missionary journey, Barnabas insisted that Mark accompany him. But Paul refused, reminding Barnabas that he had left them high and dry before. This caused such conflict that Barnabas and Mark left together on their own missionary trip, and Paul took another man named Silas and went on his way. But over the years, God changed Mark. And later, when Paul was in prison, he wrote to his good friend Timothy saying, "Get Mark and bring him with you, for he is very useful to me for ministry." Mark had ultimately become God's instrument to help Paul. And we know that he was also extremely close to Peter, who goes so far as to call Mark his son. And this is the same Mark who wrote the gospel which bears his name. God dealt with the sinfulness, the self-centeredness, the reluctance of Ananias, Paul, and Mark through the gospel, the message of forgiveness and grace, and the promise of God's presence. And what about us? We know the facts. Jesus died for our sins and was raised to demonstrate that nothing now stands between us and God. Our sins have been paid for, and we've been declared not guilty. We've received the gift of the Holy Spirit in the waters of our baptism, the Spirit who gives us new life in Christ. Do we sense how God is calling us to his service? Do we feel his pull and hear his voice as he continues to change and shape and mold our lives so that we might be the right tool for the right job in his hands. We know God's big plan, his unchangeable will, is that all people would come to the knowledge of the truth and be saved. Jesus' commission to his disciples of all ages is to go and make disciples of all nations. And he even gave us a blueprint for how to do this. It's done by baptizing people in the name of the triune God and teaching them his word and will. God has special assignments for each of his children. He used Ananias to baptize Paul and lay hands on him. He used Mark to be a special helper to Paul, and even to Peter, and even to write one of the Gospels. For Paul, the task was to carry Christ's name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. And God used him. He used him to plant churches throughout Asia Minor. And in each of those places, God called and shaped the people he needed, took them with their own particular gifts and talents, and used them to bring about his purposes, to accomplish the particular job he needed done in that place. So how is he shaping you? As I look back on my life, I can think of many different people who have helped me along the way of faith. I had my Damascus experience and my baptism as God came and claimed me for his kingdom and opened my eyes and took up residence in my life. Over the years, there have been many Ananiases, pastors and others who have come and spoken words of forgiveness to me when I had blown it so badly that I just knew God couldn't love me anymore. There have been many Marks, Christian brothers and sisters, who have come along and helped me and encouraged me to remember who and whose I am. And I would imagine that's true for you as well if you look back on your life. So many different people, so many different assignments and tasks. But I have to admit, I haven't always, nor do I claim even now, to know what the outcome is to be. I don't see the whole picture that God has in mind for my life. And neither do you. We know the names of Paul, Ananias, Mark, and Peter, and probably a whole bunch of other people. But what of all the others who worked alongside them, who helped them in so many ways, but we don't know their names? They too were God's tools. Paul headed out to the mission field, but there were so many who helped, whose mission field was their families, their ability to support the work of the church, to serve the people in their community and share the love of Jesus with their neighbors. And quite honestly, I'm not sure what the harder work is. There's no doubt that Paul's life was hard, much harder than mine has been. But God was clear from the start that he would show him how much he must suffer for the sake of my name. We may not suffer as Paul did, but that doesn't mean that our work, the way God is using us, isn't important to the mission. Because Paul wouldn't have been able to do what he did if all the others weren't doing their parts as well. God is calling each of us to be his instruments in one way or another. And I think he wants us to think about that. That's what Paul did in Arabia. That's what Mark did after he walked away from Paul and Barnabas. And I hope that's what you'll think about as well. How is the good news of God's salvation strengthening and changing you to be his tool, his instrument of healing, encouragement for hope for someone today in this place where you find yourself? Just let God use you. Be ready today and each day to be a tool in his toolbox to bless someone with his love. Amen.